Turn with me this morning, 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians for a beginning. Begin in verse 6. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And that's a promise. Book of Leviticus, I believe, 26th chapter, he made that promise. You better obey. In verse 7, it said, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them," those that deceive and have vain words. We're just surrounded by that kind of stuff today, in our world today, especially since we got Facebook. Seem like it's over and over, just, you know, right and all. It makes me think everybody's got a psalm, everybody's got a hymn, and everybody's got to do a little preaching. They don't know how serious that is. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If you don't have any light, how are you going to walk as children of light? That's the problem. A lot of what's put forth today is not light. It's absolutely darkness. If you're born of light and you shed forth light, it goes back to that born of the kind. Everything sheds forth its kind. He said, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And certainly that is the fruit that the Spirit gives forth always. Nothing more, nothing less, but always goodness and righteousness and truth. But it's all in the Lord, not of man. If it was of man, he'd fool around boast about it, wouldn't he? And it'd be just such as they're talking about here, "Be not deceived by these people." He said, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And I think here too that we'd make this observation here. Reproving is in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light. When the light comes forth, it is going to be reproved. Always. It can't help it. It's in opposition to darkness. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It reproves and it rebukes and it made manifest. What's made manifest? What is acceptable unto the Lord.
Right.
And what is acceptable unto the Lord is simply one thing, obedience. And the Lord himself set forth this as light as being obedient unto the Father. And he accomplished all things that he must do. And that the laying down of his life for his people, the called out people, a certain people, a peculiar people, that show forth the fruits of the Spirit. That's what makes them peculiar. What makes them different. That sets them apart from the darkness and unto the light eternal is goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the light's always shedding forth. It doesn't get tangled up in all this other foolishness. It's, I've said before, real easy. Some of it sounds so good. You just follow along with it, and it's so wonderful, so nice, and just everybody's getting along, we're all going to the same place, and it's all, you know, and every time they preach a funeral, they got him in there, another one. And it's all foolishness. I think the Bible speaks of it like lasciviousness. It certainly is just lasciviousness, silliness and foolishness, and no light in it, no reproof in it, and no preaching today of reproof, no judgment. That's what they say. You don't supposed to judge. And yet, that's another lie. My contention is you better judge. And judgment is of all things, whether they be true, whether they be righteous. And the only thing that the scripture sets forth is righteousness. As far as God is concerned. And as far as his people are concerned. It's all righteousness. Born of the Spirit. And the Spirit produces obedience. In the book of Philippians, the first chapter. I guess verse 9, he said, this I pray, that you love, your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Now this is the whole key to the whole thing, is knowledge. But here's the question, what knowledge? It must be of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the light is. And knowledge is light. And light is knowledge. That you abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all what? Judgment. We must judge. Knowledge, always true knowledge I'm talking about, always increases in love of Christ. For we know that he laid down his life that he might save his people from their sin. And then judgment. What are we judging? We're judging if it be true what we're hearing. We're judging if what's being preached is true. We're judging if there is any light in it. If there's no light, the opposite of that is darkness. If there's no light, there's no knowledge. And the two go hand in hand. And in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. What in the world could be excellent? Or more excellent? The things of the Lord. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being sanctified. Being in the Spirit, the light of the knowledge of God. And then in verse 11 he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, the glory and the praise of God. What made that so? The obedience of Jesus Christ. And being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Because he first loved us. And if a man more knowledge he has of the Lord and his word, the more it increases unto love of the Lord. No other way. It must be. Because it's producing fruit. It's in the vine, the true vine. And it's always producing fruit whether we see it or not. Sometimes we can't get down in the mouth with too few. But it's always at work. The Lord's always at work. Producing these things. Over in the book of 2 John. By the way, we're just barely touching on this. In verse 5 of 2 John. Now I beseech thee, lady, talking to the church, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, that's what the fruits of righteousness produce. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. What? Being obedient. This is the commandment. That as ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in it, in the commandment. Be obedient unto the law. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And this is a deceiver and Antichrist. Betty often said, we'd see something. She said, that must be of the devil. Yeah, yeah. Most of the time, yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Wherefore, now whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Now that's where it all lies, in the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? Be obedient unto the law of God. How much plainer can it be said that he came in the flesh? That's who he is, to save his people. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Well, it's the same. So if he doesn't have one, he doesn't have other. If he doesn't have the doctrine, he doesn't have anything. All words given by the inspiration of God is profitable. For what? For doctrine first. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. We can't get away from it. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come one unto you and bring not this doctrine. Now some don't have any at all, they say, which is true most of the time. But it must be the proper doctrine. All kinds of doctrines out there. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. And neither bid him God speak. Well, have a nice day. Well, that's just a little touch of it, you know. Just go on doing what you're doing. Everything's wonderful. But if you do, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, we don't want to get crazy, but we want to reprove that with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which always, I say again, reproves and rebukes. Always. Man come, and he's not one of the Lord's, he won't sit too long under the preaching of the gospel. But it will do other things also. It will condemn him. And if there be a call in there, it will convict him. But if not, it won't. 2 Timothy you got a frog in your throat this morning. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, where are we going to find it? In the Word. That the man of God may be perfect. And there's a comma there. Be perfect. How's he going to be perfect? In Christ Jesus. Now why did he need to be perfect? So he be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, which is go and reprove it. If a one comes in to preaching something other than this doctrine of Jesus Christ, best thing, get away from him. Don't have no part of it. you may be made perfect. Book of John, first chapter. Verse 15 said, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is a doctrine. Grace and truth. I kind of puzzled over this grace to grace statement here, but then I go on and I find the answer. Under the old law of types and shadows, there was grace. But I think under our new era, after the coming of Jesus Christ, grace is multiplied from grace unto grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of him, of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And these people were supposed to have had the doctrine. How pitiful. And these things were given unto us that we might know the things that happened unto the Israelite people. They didn't have a doctrine. Looking for something else. Not the Lord himself. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. But there he was. He had testified to the fact that he has come. And what did he come for? To be obedient unto the Father. And grace was given unto the Son. And the Son hath given grace unto his people.
By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me. And again, I spoke not to your fathers when I brought them up out of Egypt, saying, sacrifice and offering. But this one thing I commanded them, obey my voice. Can't do that without the Spirit of Christ, can you? The doctrine of Christ. Well, it is obedience, isn't it? A body hast thou prepared thee. It's written in the volume of the book. I come, O God, to do thy will. The doctrine of Christ is written from the first of Genesis to the last of Revelation. How much more do we need? Nothing. For all scripture is given, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. What more do you need? Nothing. Is God deficient? No, he is not deficient. He is efficient. In Jesus Christ, we are complete.